Put your hands like this if you think that was a touchdown. Woo! Thank you, Lord. That's a good way to start in the morning, isn't it? Whew. And God is worthy of it. Hey, God is greater than what we can think, ask, or imagine. And He allows us by His grace to have the will and the desire and the ability to bring Him praises. I mean, that's a grace to us. I tell you what, this is not part of the sermon, but I'm just moved. But one of the biggest graces that God has ever done was to command us to love Him and give us the ability to do so through His grace. Because when a man or a woman loves anything besides God with all their heart, soul, and strength, they are headed to destruction. But when you love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, you are living a heavenly life on earth. And you are bound to a heavenly eternity. And it's a wonderful thing. Woo! That was free. Y'all don't have to pay for that. Amen. That was free by the grace of God, too. Now, let me say this. We have children's church. So everybody who's... Miss Helen, how's your youngest? Not your youngest child. I know how old your youngest child is. We ain't going there. I'm married to her youngest child. And I ain't about to say all that in public. Anyway, the children that you take... How old's the youngest age? So 4 years old through 6th grade, which is usually about 12 years old, we have children's church. So if you're here, you have a child in that age group, or you are a child in that age group, I'm going to give you the opportunity right now to file out this back door. The ones who have been there before are going to show you how to walk properly as in the church and how to go where you need to go. Ready? Break. Show us how to walk, y'all who know how. There we go. Here we go. We get our young children out of here so they don't have to find out how, boring and stuff church is. No, my goodness, no. But I tell you why we do it. We do it because we have people who have a heart for kids, who know how to share the gospel and share the Bible on their level to that group, and that's an awesome thing. So we don't want to miss that opportunity. They might find Big John a little too much, but that's why they get to do that. And so it's an awesome thing. Sometimes our youth also go up and practice a thing called, I can't remember. Creative movements. I'm looking over here. I'm like, where are the Goldens? Y'all know they go and do creative movements. And then a lot of times on Sunday, they add to our worship experience by coming out here and doing some cool things. But that's just some of the things we do. For all our visitors, I'm Big John. They let me pastor here, although they might have been advised not to. I don't know. But I'm so glad to be here. I feel blessed to be the pastor at Christ Community Church and have been doing so for the last, it'll be 9 years. This coming May, and so it's been a blessing, and it's been awesome. So we're glad to be here. Yeah. And my wife Sarah and our 4 children, and my 12-year-old son shot a deer yesterday and killed his first deer yesterday, and I'm happy about that too. That's not part of the message. I'm just kind of overflowing a little bit. It was a 6-point buck, and he got it, and. It probably took, I don't know, I didn't see it around here today. His mama probably just didn't let it in the car or something, because I was expecting to see a rack somewhere in the congregation running around with him saying, see what I did. And anyways, I'm just proud. I also had my other son with me, Levi, who's 10. And he and I, our bravery act for the day, our big man act for the day was just climbing up into a tree stand. Neither one of us like heights. He got 3/4 of the way up, and he said, I ain't going. I said, you got to go, man. I ain't going. We got to go. And I had Ron Edwards with me, and Ron said, get up there, boy. And he was like, all right. He wasn't going to listen to that. He was going to listen to Mr. Ron. Mr. Ron drove the car, you know what I'm saying? So he had to stay right with Mr. Ron. And so he got up in there. I told Levi Mr. Ron or Josh how scared I was. I said, go, Levi. I'm scared, too. And then, so... We both got up in that thing that I'm sure was made for about 250 pounds. You know, it says 2 people. But when they say 2 people, they mean 2 100-pound people, you know, which I don't even know where you find those people. But I'm a normal average-size 360-pound guy. And so I was thinking up there with my 125-pound son that Oh my goodness. We are going to make the paper, and it ain't going to be for shooting deer. We're going to be on that other page, and he'll be truly missed, and we love him, and services will be held at Christ Community, because I knew I was going to just tip off, that tree was going to break, and we was going to, anyways, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. We made it. Levi made it. Josh got a deer. It was a good day. It was a touchdown, thank you, praise the Lord kind of day. I had a message I intended to preach, and then I heard a message that struck me, and that I really felt like God said, we need to hear that here. The message I heard was from Adrian Rogers. He's deceased. He's gone to be with the Lord. He pastored a small country church in Memphis. Had about 30,000 members in that small country church. But as he was preaching this, he was really preaching it to me, and I realized he was really preaching it to us. And God, I didn't just take his sermon, but God processed it through me. But I just want to give credit, because some of y'all might have heard this from him. This is a well-known sermon called Rooting Out Bitterness. See, we've put a challenge at Christ Community Church that we need to get in the Word every day. That Christian people need to be in the Word, not just sometimes, but every day. Because it was Jesus' own strategy to take his disciples through the Word of God and by the Word of God, teach them about who he was. And I believe that's still his strategy today, is to use the Scripture to teach who he is. But then it occurred to me, through hearing this message, that there are going to be some things in your life, in my life, in your heart and my heart, that may block us from receiving that Word. And in that message, Adrian Rogers said this. He said, I believe bitterness and anger does more to stop the power of God in revival than liberalism in theology. He says, I believe that bitterness and anger does more to stop the power of God in revival than does alcoholism and addiction. He said, I believe that bitterness and anger does more to stop the power of God in revival than pornography and the lust of the flesh. Because he felt, and this is where God really spoke to me and connected this, that there are so many hurt people in church that have not properly dealt with their hurt, and that hurt has become a root of bitterness that is keeping their heart from receiving the grace God intends for them and the grace God intends for them to give to others. And as I heard that, and I thought about myself, and I thought about Christ Community Church, because y'all, we're not the traditional Baptist church. We're the church where people come when they've been hurt at the traditional Baptist church or the traditional whatever brand church. We're the place where people come, and I know this doesn't paint everybody, so excuse me if you don't feel like you're in this category. I don't mean to paint you into a category you don't feel like you belong in. But let me tell you, this church started because we kind of felt like we didn't belong anywhere else. This is where the people came that said, don't give me that religion, I need Jesus. Don't give me the ritual, I need grace. Don't tell me about how I've got to dress proper and do this and dot every I and cross every T to please God. I need Jesus to set me free. And so what that told me, as I thought about it and I heard this message, I bet you there's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of people said, you don't fit in here. We don't take your kind here. We don't like you. And even if it wasn't spoken, it was evident. Because I'll tell you what, you can walk in a room and everybody can smile and act nice, but if you're not welcome, you know it. And when that happens in a church and you don't deal with it, that can get way down deep in your heart. And you can feel like not even God loves me. And that can turn into a root of bitterness that can negatively affect your whole life. So when I heard this message, God really said, this is for you, and this is for the church. So y'all bear with me. I do use some of his words. Adrian Rogers was a master of alliteration, making things rhyme and sound good. So this sermon, coming from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. If you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, called rooting out bitterness. Rooting out bitterness. This is what the scripture says. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many be defiled or become defiled. The key phrase in there that we're going to use is the root of bitterness. Root of bitterness. And we're going to talk about identifying it. We're going to talk about the germination of the root of bitterness. Y'all will hear Adrian Rogers right now. I'm going to tell you about the germination of bitterness, the devastation of bitterness, and the eradication of bitterness. And that's what we're going to go through. And y'all, this is something I trust. God wants this message for us right now. I want you to be sensitive to what God's doing in your heart. Because at the end of this service, you'll have a chance to respond. And if God's dealing with you, and if you've been carrying some kind of hurt, and it's turned into some kind of bitterness, and you want God to remove that thing and replace it with something good, you're going to have a chance to respond today. Because I believe this, if that heart of yours is bound up with bitterness, that word of God, that tender seed, ain't going to have nowhere to grow in your soil. And we got to do something about that. Because God has big plans for you. God has big plans for this church to bring glory to His name. So we've got to deal with those things that would block us. Amen? All right. Let me pray for us. Did I already pray for us? It don't hurt. I'll pray again. Father God, thank you for how you love us. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but you're also the Master Vine Keeper. You're the gardener. You're the shepherd of the sheep. Father, there's something in the soil of our hearts, a bitterness, an anger, a resentment that has so influenced many in this place that it's hard to hear your word. It's hard to open ourselves up in trust. It's hard to move forward in a ministry. It's hard for us because we have harbored in our heart a bitter hurt. And we've allowed it to crowd out space that's dedicated to you, which is all of it. We know if there's anything not dedicated to you in our life, it's going to come between you and us, and we want that gone. Remove, Lord, the resentful bitterness that is represented in this room today. Do surgery. Don't just chop the top off, Lord. Go to the root and pull it out that we might see changed lives here today. Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible itself, in that phrase, the root of bitterness, gives us the illustration. It's talking about a root. So when we talk about a root, we mean something has been growing. So we're going to look at the germination of that root. And so the first point we're going to look at is the seed and the soil. Because for germination to happen, you have to have a seed and you have to have soil. So what's the seed and the soil of bitterness? I believe that the seed is a hurt that's gone unresolved. The seed is a hurt that's gone unresolved. I don't even have to ask to raise your hand if you've been hurt. We've all been hurt. You live in this life, you're going to experience hurt. You're going to experience all kinds of hurt. You're going to experience hurt that's intentional when somebody tries to hurt you because they are a mean person. Isn't that true in this world? There are mean people. There are those kind of hurts. You're going to get hurt unintentionally by somebody that just didn't know better. Hurts of ignorance, unintentional hurts. I'm a very loud extrovert. I don't always think before I speak. Shocking. You know what I found throughout my life? I hurt people's feelings. I don't even mean to. But for all that tough facade that I have, I know there's people who've hurt my feelings and not even meant to. Not even meant to. So some of the hurts we have are unintentional. Some of the hurts we have are imagined. Imaginary slights. Because, see, we set up our world And we set up our life in such a way that we think we can own it and operate it, and we can dictate how people should respond. And when people don't respond the way we want them to, we kind of take that on as a hurt. Even though it wasn't intended, it wasn't even anything offensive. It just hurt us. What happens, though, when we don't deal with that hurt? Even if it's the slightest thing. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, and he kept this, you know, this was something, I'm sharing something I wasn't involved in, but it's secondhand to me. But he was dealing with a man, an adult man with married with children. And he said, "What's the problem?" He said, "As long as I've known you, there's been a problem. What's going on with you?" He said, "I went to a school where there was a dress code. And my father bought me the cheap pants instead of the expensive brand pants that we could wear. And it always made me feel like I was second class in school." I think to myself, really? Let's trade problems. But it don't matter. That became a hurt in that man's life that affected him for so long. You know, I had a man come up to me, and this was an intentional hurt. I did something to hurt somebody. Because in high school, and I still have this tendency, so just, I was a jerk. And I choked this guy out in the hallway on purpose because I was a captain of the football team and on the wrestling team, and I thought I had a ticket to do whatever I wanted to whomever I wanted. So I was walking by, and I figured out that if you put a sleeper hold on like in wrestling, it really puts people to sleep. Don't try it at home. But I got so proficient at it, I could do it with one arm while I was walking down the hallway. I could just grab somebody up. My arms were long enough to go around both their, you know, the blood going to their vein. I'd cut it off and I'd leave them in the hallway. I thought it was funny. I see some people are laughing down. Do not try this at home. I didn't think nothing of it. It was somebody else on the football team. We were friends. He ended up living at my house, my mom's house where I lived a little bit later on. And he made a confession to me. He said this, "I wanted to kill you." And he wasn't joking. "I wanted to kill you for what you did to me." Now, what happened in that guy's life? He was carrying on a hurt, a real hurt, an intentional hurt. And what did it lead to? Where did it end up coming out? He kept it in his heart until it grew and it bore fruit, and it was going to lead to destruction. My destruction in this case. And some people might say, well earned, that's fine. But my point is this, that lingered in that guy's heart. That guy wasn't going to be able to do business with God until he dealt with some of that. Now, I don't think that guy done business with God. I think he just came to realize that his plans, he just let them go. He just dealt with it. Let bygones be bygones. He just let it go. Thank you, Lord. My children should say, thank you, Lord. I wonder in here, what kind of seeds have been planted in our heart? Because the seed's not the only thing. It needs a heart. It needs soil. It needs a place to live. If you get hurt and you let that come to bitterness, that means in your heart you've nurtured it. You've given it sunlight. You've given it food and vitamins. You've encouraged it. I tried to grow a garden once. Well, I've tried more than once. But I'm going to use the word try on every attempt because I don't know that I quite got it there. This is what I found out about growing things. It's a little more difficult than just taking some seeds and throwing them on the ground and coming back in 3 months and looking for fruit. You got to dig a row, and you got to mound it up, and you got to plant them in there, and you got to fertilize. You got to do stuff to get something to grow. If you got a root of bitterness in your heart, it's because you've been working on it. You've taken that hurt, and instead of just saying, "I forgive you," God forgave me, and so I forgive you. We'll get to that in a minute. You've decided to, you know what they said? You know what they said about me? About my people? About who I am? About where I'm going? Do you know what they did? And you rehearse it. And you nourish it. And you water it. What happens in Mississippi you don't water your garden? What happens around end of June and July? What happens to it? It dries up anyways. So what do you got to do? What happens when time separates you from the seed of a hurt? I'll tell you, time alone can dull that out and about make it die. But what happens when it's in your heart and you keep rehearsing it, you keep bringing it up, you keep bringing it, say, oh, I remember what they did. I remember who they are. We grow it. We harbor it. We nourish it. It becomes our little private pity party. Except we'll find out, a root of bitterness don't stay private. A root of bitterness doesn't stay undercover. So what ends up happening? We end up running into people, or you become a person who's had a heart, had a hurt, and you've harbored that hurt in your heart, and all of a sudden now you become a negative person. Now you become an overly sarcastic person. Now you've become a person who's a fault finder. This is one of the illustrations. Adrian Rogers was a great illustrator, and I just can't, but he said this. He said, someone who has a root of bitterness is like a porcupine. They got a lot of good points, but it's hard to get near to them. Think about that. They might make all kinds. Man, I've talked to people who are as negative as can be, and they can shoot out points. You know what? Well, they did this, and they did that, and this system's corrupt, and this is that, and they'd be right all the way down the road. But how do you even get close to a person like that? They become isolated. It's hard to get near to them. Part of this message is going to be you asking God and asking yourself, is this like me? Sometimes you just get overly critical. Always finding fault. Always seeing the negative. Never seeing the positive. Where did that come from? You know, sometimes families will pass down roots and seeds from one generation to another. Have you noticed that? We used to have a fellow in our congregation who said he was growing gourds that his wife's grandfather or great-grandfather had. These were the seeds, and they was passed down from generation to generation. They were still growing them. They're going to harvest those seeds, and they're going to pass them on to their children. They're growing old this old stuff, and it is really cool if it's in your garden. But what happens if you pick up the root of bitterness from your mom or dad, your aunt or uncle, and you pick up that root and you start growing it in your heart, and you realize, I'm just as negative, just as critical, just as fault-finding, angry as what they were. When I talk to men, just in conversation, you know what I get most of the time? As soon as it starts getting honest, they're angry and they don't know why. Generalized anger. Generalized frustration. You know how you can tell that? Push their buttons. Let my kids come and push my buttons. I might seem really calm on the surface. It don't take too long of pushing buttons until you get a reaction. And the reaction might not be justified by what was happening. Just kind of blow up. What the? You might say, why did Daddy do that? We'll get into this in a minute. I want you to think of some of the things you might have said to a child in anger. I want you to think about it. I think about it for a little bit. It hurts. What you might have said out of anger to your spouse or to your parents, to a sibling or to a friend. What are some things you might have said because you just didn't really mean it? You meant it in that moment, but you didn't really mean it in your life. I hate you. Why do you keep bothering me? What does that expose? That exposes a root that's bearing bad fruit. So we got the germination. It's a seed of hurt that's been nourished in a heart of unforgiveness. Refuse to deal with the hurt. Now let's look at the root and the fruit. Let's look at the devastation. Let's talk about when we get mad. Let's talk about it. There's a series. If you turn to your Bible, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. I didn't tell Bert and those guys up there about this because I like to keep them on their toes. Keeps them sharp. (Clears throat) Ephesians 4, verse 31 says this. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. It shows that that root, see, in Hebrews 12 it says, lest there be a root of bitterness that spring up within you and cause trouble, and then cause the destruction of many others. There's something that happens. That root bears fruit. That root is going to bear fruit. So you can try to disguise it. Matter of fact, ain't hardly nobody, and that's proper English, there isn't hardly anybody who's going to volunteer and say, I'm a bitter, angry person. I'm a bitter, angry person. You aren't going to get nobody to say, most anybody's not going to admit that. But we can see the fruit. And if you can see the fruit, just follow it back. Now, he says here that bitterness, he said, I've done lost my page again. He says, bitterness, let all bitterness, and that's what we're talking about, that hurt that becomes more because it's been nourished and hidden in your heart. Let all bitterness, then he goes to wrath. Wrath has the idea of heat. It's really like a wood-burning stove. You know, you can bank the heat in there, but it broils, it turns. You know, it's seething. The coals are hot. That's wrath. Is that inside there's a heat that at any moment, if you give it oxygen, it's gonna light up. And that's the next fruit, anger. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger. What's anger? Anger is the flying off the handle I already talked to you about. Anger is when that little bit of coal fire in that wood-burning stove gets oxygen, and whew, now you got something. Now you got this teeth clenched, fist balled up, anger. Well, that's going to talk to those teeth ain't going to be clenched for long, because I tell you how anger, according to this word, comes out next, clamor. Clamor is when you start negative talking. We call it around here, yah-yah. I didn't even know that term. You know, that's a Randy Carver term. He said, oh, they got mad and they started yah-yahing. They started talking, clamoring, gossiping, nitpicking. You know what nitpicking refers to? I just heard this the other day. It's a bit of trivia. I mean, really, you've all heard when somebody said, oh, they're just nitpicking. You know what that has to do with? Taking lice eggs off somebody's head. You ever been? You know, that's what nitpicking means. You know, you got to be close up on somebody, see any lice eggs in their hair, and you picking at them. Nitpicking. That's that clamor. But then, this is one of the things he said. All of a sudden, he said, he differentiated, and I think it's a good differentiation between clamor and evil speaking. He said that evil speaking, that's the next thing in Ephesians 4:31. Evil speaking is when you really have now given place to the devil to be your coach for what you say. A little bit earlier in this passage in Ephesians, it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger and giving a place to the devil. He says, this evil speaking is when you've given that place to the devil and he's given you those things to say. Tell her you hate her. I hate you. Tell her you can't. Tell him you can't stand him. I can't stand you. And you are no longer speaking after the values of the kingdom of God. You're no longer speaking with the love and truth that God would provide. You are now speaking evil things. And it all started back because you had a hurt that grew up into a root, that brewed up into wrath, that came out in anger, that got your lips moving, and now you are speaking evil things. Things that ought not to be spoken. And we try to excuse ourselves in that way, don't we, a lot of times. I'm sorry for what I said. I was angry. I didn't mean to talk like that. I was mad. We have words for it. He flew off the handle. He went ballistic. Lost my head and just started saying things. Cuss somebody you love. Verbally cut somebody you love. That's what this is about. This is where it'll go. But it doesn't stop there. It uses the last word, and this last word is the most dangerous word of all, really. It shows you how far this will go. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Malice is the intent to do harm. The intent to do harm. This is when it goes past speaking to where you grab that person and you shake them or you pound them against a wall or you get into your car. You get into your truck, and you throw it in reverse and whip out of your driveway, throw it in drive and hammer down, and you don't care, and you're just, and you don't care that you're going 55 down a 25-mile residential street. You don't care that there might be kids jumping out. You don't care if you hurt anybody because you just got all wrapped up. So where you pound that six-pack, and you're going to go out, and you're going to find something to do, somebody to fight, and you're just on edge, and you do it. These are the people who come into their work, come into their school. You know, this past year, we had a kid to come into school. He was mad at a teacher. He had a grudge against a teacher. It was in Colorado, not far from the Columbine thing. That happened this year. He marched in there. He had a weapon. He had Molotov cocktails. He was coming to get this teacher who had done him wrong. Only person he ends up shooting, he shoots a 17-year-old girl in the head. Now, she didn't die. I wonder what kind of quality of life. He got this point where I don't care who I hurt. He felt justified. I don't care who I hurt because I've been hurt. Can I tell you something that you ought to just write down? Hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. You don't approach an animal if it's been hurt. You do very carefully. Why? Because they're reacting. If you don't take care of the hurt in your heart, you are going to help destroy your life and others. And that's true. That's not a matter of, that's just the preacher's opinion. That's, no. Not only is it borne out in the Word of God, it's borne out in history. How many people have been, lose their life because somebody had a grudge, somebody had bitterness, somebody was just angry and out of control? How long will you let the bitterness live in your heart? Will you have to come all the way till you hurt somebody? You know, I get an opportunity to be involved in a prison ministry, and there's all kinds of excuses these guys use for the people they hurt. But when you talk with them and are honest, and a lot of them are, they ain't got nothing to hide. They're going to be in Parchman Prison the rest of their life. They'll just tell you, I was mad. I was angry. I talked to a man who was angry. And then he went and did drugs because that's what you start losing your mind. You don't know what you're going to do. Now, he was a drug doer anyways, but he went and done drugs. He went. One of his family members, his grandmother, confronted him. And he killed her with his bare hands, and he burnt her house down. And he went out and killed a couple more people. You could say it was the drugs. Let me tell you what the drugs did. They amplified what was in his heart. That's what they did. He was an angry, angry man. He didn't do anything about it. He didn't let God heal him of it. And it got so far to where he was malicious, didn't care who he hurt, didn't care who he hurt. Now he's the rest of his life in jail. God got a hold of him in jail. I believe God taken that root of bitterness out of his heart now. And he's a gospel preacher now in Parchman. And I hope he's there for the rest of his life preaching the gospel because he's effective. And there's a need for effective gospel preachers at Parchman Prison. But I'm going to tell you, if you think you can let bitterness live in your heart and not see it bear fruit, you are deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. Because if you harbor anger and bitterness, and you let it go, eventually you're going to hurt yourself and you're going to hurt somebody else. And it might not even be in putting your hands on somebody. I heard this. Not all sick people have bitterness and anger in their life. But all bitter and angry people are going to have sickness in their life. Did y'all hear that? Just because you're sick, that don't mean you have bitterness and anger. But if you are, bitter and angry, and you're harboring that in your heart, and the stress and the and all that stuff of purposely holding a grudge against somebody, it's going to ruin your health. It's going to cause you trouble, which is exactly what the Bible says. Lest there be any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble and the defilement or destruction of many. Hurt people, but they hurt themselves too. Now let's talk about getting rid of it. The eradication. We had the germination, the devastation of bitterness, now the eradication of bitterness. That word eradicate literally means to root out. It's what farmers try to do with weeds. They try to eradicate. They try to root them out. So that's what this word is. How do you get bitterness out of your heart? If you have a root of bitterness, how do you get it out? Prayer, let me tell you. First, let God reveal it to you. Be listening. Let God reveal it to you. And if He reveals it to you, don't you question Him. There's some people in here say, well, I know I'm not bitter. Really? Can a bitter heart diagnose itself? See, the bitter heart feels justified in being resentful and being angry. Don't trust your heart. Don't trust your heart. See, this is the opposite of Disney. Don't trust your heart. They say, follow your heart. Don't trust your heart in this one. A deceitful heart cannot diagnose a deceitful heart. That's the only way self-deception is able to go, is that your heart, you deceive yourself about what kind of person you are. So trust what God says about you. Trust, if you see the fruit of bitterness, trust that you got a root that it came from. Apples just don't appear in the air. They attach to a tree that goes into the ground that has roots that started with one seed. Isn't that something? So if you got the fruit of bitterness, guess what else you got? What else do you got? If you got the fruit, you got the root. Yeah, I guess I didn't prepare that one. See, ding, you're wrong. I'm sorry, you got to leave. If you got the fruit of bitterness, you got the root of bitterness in you. Okay? If you got the fruit, you've got the root. But you're going to have to let God reveal it because you can't trust yourself. And two, you've cut yourself off from other people. Let me tell you, if you got the fruit, if you got the root of bitterness, you got to let God reveal it because you ain't going to trust nobody else either. You've cut yourself off. You've become unteachable, uncorrectable. You think everything you've done has been justified and right down the line. Even in the light of the fact that God forgave you and you didn't deserve it, you still think you got the right to hold a grudge against somebody else. So when they come and tell you, you know, I'm afraid you got a bitter and angry heart, you're going to say, what do you know? Who are you to judge me? I know there ain't no husband in here who's going to tell his wife she's got the root of bitterness in her heart. And you know what? You're smart. Let me tell you, there ain't no still married husband going to do that. There's all kinds of unmarried husbands out there said, you know, honey, I think you got some problems, and this is what they are. Yep. Come join the single ministry. Boy, is marriage ever a place where bitterness can come into your heart. Even in a good marriage, you can get bitterness and resentfulness in your heart. But in failed marriages, where there's been divorce, where there's been fighting, where there's been accusation, the book of Malachi, the famous verse where it says God hates divorce, people have so interpreted that in Baptist churches that they think it means something else. But let me tell you what it means. Because it goes on to say, it says it covers your garments in violence. In other words, this. It's going to put bitterness and violence on you. It's going to put something in you that hurts you. That's why God hates it. I tell you, God hates everything that hurts you. Just like you hate everything that hurts your child. That's why He hates it. It don't mean He hates you. He hates what is done in your heart. How many people, I wonder, God needs to reveal, you got bitterness because of that divorce and you ain't let it go. You got bitterness because of that relationship and you ain't let it go. You got a bitterness because the person you are with has made you so mad you don't know what to do And you're throwing plates at their head, wondering how it's going to get better. Hey, y'all think I'm kidding? Here's the classic man move. When he gets involved in malice, he's going to grab that lady. He's going to throw her. He's going to grab her. If he lets it go, he's going to shake her. He's going to sling her down. That's malice. That's that fruit going all the way back. But the classic woman's move, she's going to either never talk to him again, be cold as an iceberg, or she is going to chunk something at his head. That is so classic. It's so stereotypical. This woman done got so mad, she can't do nothing with her man. She finds out, what does she have? She pulls her shoe off and she chunks it. She's going to whiz something at him. And that dude's afraid to go to sleep for a while, and he's all sleep deprived. Thinking, man, she's going to get me in my sleep. And she is. Unless she gets right. Unless she let God reveal it. But not only let God reveal it, but you let grace remove it. Let grace remove it. In this verse, it says, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Let me tell you how we fall short of the grace of God. We don't take and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't take and believe in the God who saves us. That's how we fall short. Don't you fall short. Jesus Christ came to take away the sin of the world. Let grace remove your bitterness. And I'm going to tell you why you got to let grace remove it. First and foremost, God needs to forgive you for not forgiving somebody else. So that's the first work of grace, is to say, you know, you've harbored this in your heart and you need forgiveness. So let the grace of God that's so freely offered through Christ wash over your heart and forgive you. And you know what the forgiven heart does? Offers forgiveness to somebody else. That's what the forgiven heart does. So you let grace remove that bitterness. You can go, you know, in my yard back in Michigan, we had dandelions, and I would cut them with the lawnmower, and next week they were there again, and I would cut them with the lawnmower, and they were there again. More this time. How in the world does that happen? I mean, for a couple days, you can't see them. They appear not to be there anymore. Especially when they get all white and fuzzy-headed, and you hit them with the lawnmower, and those seeds spread all over the place. Next thing you know, your whole yard's got dandelions, and you thought you was doing something good. Every time you chop down the fruits of bitterness but don't attack the root gets stronger, and I believe more will be produced. You didn't do nothing but prune it. When I hit those dandelions, I didn't do nothing but broadcast the seed all over my mom's front yard. So if you don't deal with the root, you're playing. You hear me? I know this is speaking to somebody. If you don't deal with the root, you are playing. You are putting on a show. And God sees through it. And eventually everybody will see through it, including yourself, if you're blessed. And when that time comes, you need to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please, by your grace, through the man of grace. You know who the man of grace is? Do y'all know who the man of grace is? Jesus Christ is the man of grace. Hey, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in John chapter 1. In the end of 2 Corinthians, it says, may the love of the Father and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. The Bible recognizes Jesus is the man of grace. Let him reach in and pluck that root out. It might be painful. You're going to have to forgive somebody. You're going to have to forgive some scenario or some system. But you let them have it. Let them take away your sin. It's what the Son of God came to do. He can't take your good works. He can't take your intentions. But he can take your sin. That's what he can take. That's what he came to take from you. Let them have it. Let them have it. You might say, I can't let that person off the hook. Well, if you let them off the hook, you let you off the hook too. Do you know whoever you're mad at, whoever you have a resentment against, you've done change yourself to that person? You've hooked yourself to that person? And whenever you forgive, two people receive freedom, you and whoever you forgave. Because while you got bitterness, you ain't free. You're not free to do what God wants. You're not free to do what you want. You're not free to enjoy life because you got a bitterness weighing down on you. And I believe the only one who could take it is Jesus Christ. And he will. Amen. He'll take it. He knows how to do that heart surgery. But not only does it need to be removed, it needs to be revealed by God, removed by grace, but replaced. It needs to be replaced. Because if you leave a vacant spot in your heart, it's waiting for something. There's no vacuums in nature. It's waiting for something. Do you remember the man that got cured of demons? It said one demon, he got a demon cast out of him. But he swept up the place, but he never replaced it. He was never filled with God's truth. It doesn't say he was filled with anything else. And said those demons, after they traveled around in a dry and thirsty place, said, "Why don't we go back where we came from?" And they came back and they found his life in order and they said, "Woo, this is even better." And they said, the end of that man is worse than the beginning. He never replaced the bad that he got rid of with the goodness of God. You're not going to stay just empty. You're not going to stay in neutral. So you might say, "I want to get rid of the bad things, but I don't know if I'm ready to walk with God yet." Well, guess what? More bad things are coming then. This verse tells us what we ought to pursue. Verse 14 says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness." That's a right relationship with all people, and that's a right relationship. Holiness is a right relationship with God. So what should we do if God says, "You've got a bitter heart"? Lord Jesus, take this root of bitterness out of me. You just come to him and tell him. But then you allow him to give you good rapport with man and God. Peace with all people as far as it's possible for you. I know there's some people that might attack you. You can't do something about what they do, but you can do something about what you do. I'm not preaching to them. They're not here. You're here. Pursue peace with all people and holiness with God. That means that you have taken from him that character that he offers to you. Be holy as I am holy, says the Lord. And that you've decided to walk in his way. That's how we do it. If you find you have the seed of a hurt that's been harbored in a heart of hostility and has turned into a root of bitterness that's bearing destructive fruit in your life, right now you have an opportunity. If God has revealed it, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. You can come up here amongst the poinsettias and the ferns. It'd be like church in the wildwood. Come up here amongst these trees and this greenery. And if you need to do work with God, if he's revealed it, don't leave here without asking him to remove it and dedicate yourself to having it replaced with what he offers as opposed to what you offer. Do y'all catch me in this? All right, now listen. That's the invitation from this message. But I want to do this invitation too. You might be in a place where you've never done business with God. You've never asked Christ to be your Lord and Savior. If you did, you didn't mean it, maybe. I don't know. You feel like you don't have a relationship with God. If you don't feel like you have a relationship with God, it could be for a couple different reasons. One, because you really don't have a relationship with God. That could be one reason. Could be that you have a relationship with God that has been so stomped down, covered up, choked out through a root of bitterness that you don't have any connection with him. You don't read his word. You don't pray to him. You don't speak of him. You don't speak to him. He don't speak to you. Would you claim having a relationship with anybody else you don't ever communicate with? No, that's silly. So if your relationship is so covered up, or if there's no relationship there at all, let me tell you what you do. You come up here and say, "Lord Jesus, would you save me? Save me so I can be your child. Save me from this root of bitterness. Save me so I can be effective for your work." Just ask him to save you and be yours. You could do that right now. I'm going to give you time if you want to respond. Let me tell you this, church. If we as a church harbor a root of bitterness, we won't ever be the church God envisioned from the beginning for us to be. We'll miss it. I'm not here to miss it, I promise. That's not what I'm here for. I want to see the church the way God has seen it. And I think it's an awesome thing. So if you need to get right with God, now's the time to do it. Let me pray for us. Give respect as people do business with God, either in their seats or up here, but we're just going to have a time. Father God, I thank you for how you love us. I thank you for how you've designed our heart to be your throne, and that you can't sit there if it's overgrown with bitterness and hatred and anger that hasn't been dealt with. You're not going to occupy a heart that's full of hate. And so, Father, help us. Help us to get that out. Help us to be honest with you. Help us to walk from this time on, keeping a short account of our hurts, forgiving right away, asking forgiveness when we need to. But Lord, help us in that, and be with this church as they respond to deal with these hurts. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You can come up. If you need to come up, you can come up now. I'm just going to give some time. If you need to do business where you are, do business where you are. But if you got a hurt, you come and deal with it. Y'all, there's freedom with Christ, and we don't want, you don't want to be harboring that which hinders the power of God in your life or in your church or in your home or in your town. You don't want to be that one. Things like pride and racism and hatred are kept alive by the people who nourish them. If we decide to let them go, they'd be gone. You understand? The hurts of them. Even the how people hurt people with them. It could be gone. Listen, I love y'all, and I thank you. I'm going to ask if the ushers would come forward for the morning offering. But as they do, I want to remind you, if God says and points out you have a bitterness here, do business with them. Let it go. Because when you let it go, you let you go. That's the way that works. Let me pray for us. Lord God, I give you all the praise and I give you the thanks in Jesus' name. And I pray that as this offering is taken up, that you'd be glorified And Father, that furthermore, you'd bless your church. You know the needs. You know what's going on. You know it all perfectly. So Lord, we pray for your abundance. We pray for the offering, and we pray for your blessing. And we do it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.